of this week's Parsha's Kukas, we have the story of the Nechash and Nechoshes, the brass snake, which was used to stop a magefa. And the Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah points out, two events, one the hands of Moshe when they were fighting Amalek, and the Nechash and Nechoshes, so it says, "V'chi nachash meimis o nachash b'chayel." As much as some mistak and klape malam shavn and zlim laavim shreshmayim, he misrabim him love ha'yidim mokim. Does the snake kill or does the snake heal? No, it's when they look at the snake and they look heavenwards and realize where healing comes from. So then they were then it worked. And if they didn't internalize that message, it didn't work. Meaning if they looked towards the heaven, it worked. If they didn't look towards the heaven, it did not work. So I just wanted to discuss, because we live in an age where people are looking for quick fixes to things. You press a button and you fix something, whatever. So I wanted to discuss some of these issues. So the first thing that when we discuss segulas or superstitious things is the issue of Darchei Amori. Meaning, first and foremost, you have to figure out is the practice of kosher origins. So the Tosefta lists, there's a whole Perek Zayin in the Tosefta lists. I didn't put the whole Tosefta in, but the Tosefta has a list. I'll just say one interesting thing. If you look at the fourth line, Chut Adam Al Etzbo is one of them. A red string around your finger. So those have to list things which are non-Jewish practices, and it's a violation of Darchei Amori. But the Gemara says in source number 3, Abai Rava, Damitavai, you call Dover Sheish Mishim Rufua, Imam Shim Darchei Amori. If it's medicinal, so then it's not Darchei Amori. So what does that mean? So the Rambam says that. So he says that if something is logical, so it's not subject to Darchei Amori. That's the Rambam in the first paragraph. That's what he means. Kol davar sheyesh bo mishum refuah, he means that it works, meaning people, there's a cause and effect. You do this, and this happens. It doesn't have to be medicine. It could be something that's non-medicinal, a practice that works in the same kind of rubric. So then he asks, "Lo yiksha lecha dvar masher etiru kamo masmer hatzalu v'shem in ashul." So the Gemara in Shabbos talks about carrying like a fox's tooth or a nail from a prisoner, not a fingernail, meaning a hammer nail. The Rambam seems to be convinced that those things don't actually work. And so why does the Gemara endorse those practices? He says basically that people thought that they worked. They knew that it was a skula, and the smart people knew that it didn't work, but the Hamonam, the masses, thought that there was some logical reason to it, and so even though they didn't really understand what was going on, but enough people thought it worked, and there was some, I wouldn't say evidence, but there was some belief that,
placebo?
Yeah, either placebo, or they thought it was based on something, that wasn't mystical, and therefore it's mutter. Okay, the Urayim has a much more narrow version of Darchei Amori. He says if it's not listed in the Tosefta, you're good to go. So you can't violate Darchei Amori except for the things on that list. Okay, the Ma'arik and the Vilna Gaon, it's really the Ma'arik Rama versus the Vilna Gaon. Ma'arik says, basically, similar to the Rambam, that it could be Darchei Amori for one of two reasons. If it has no reason to it, it's Darchei Amori. Or if it's a practice that was instituted specifically for the purpose of promoting promoting preetzus, right? If it's a violation of tznius, so then it's Darchei Amori. And that's what the Ramah follows. So if he's talking about special coats the doctors wore. They wore the coats so that everybody knows that they're doctors, as opposed to like people have uniforms now. So the Vilna Gaon says that that's not enough. Meaning, it's not enough to have a logical reason to it. It has to be not only logical, but something that we would have come up with on our own. So, meaning, it has to be practical, I guess, if that's the right word. Something that we would have done, and it happens to be the non-Jews thought of it first, and we took it on, but, you know, we would have done it either way. But things, let's say, like the medical coats, were, I don't know, we might not have...
Like, you wear white because you could bleach it, but to wear, like, something...
Right.
Like a short coat versus long coat. Like.
Right. Maybe to wear long versus short, and there's no... I mean, you could argue that today you need to know who's who, but it was just for kavod. That's what the Marik describes it as, for kavod purposes. Then maybe not. Okay, now the Rambam says the following. There's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if somebody was bit by a rabid dog, Mishnah So there was a remedy in those days. If you were bit by a rabid dog, especially in those days, that's it. You know, the person's finished. But they said, you try everything. So you kill the dog and you take his liver and you feed it to the patient, which is obviously not kosher. So the Tanakhama says you can't feed him the liver. And Rav Masi ben Chayrish is matir. So what the Rambam says, what's the machlokas about? So the Rambam says, don't think that this is pikuach nefesh. Meaning if it was pikuach nefesh, the guy's going to die, you give him the liver of the dog. No, everybody knew that it wasn't really going to work. But at least I'll Pitava, you know, through natural means, but there was this school of floating out there that maybe this will work. So Ram says that's you can't violate a mitzvah for a skula, meaning you can't violate the isser of tarfus to give a skula medicine. And he says, you know, there's no scientific basis to it. Chacham chalosh, ainu mitzadadas, v'nisyono rachuk. And he seems to say, you know, there was no experimentation done on this. And this is an important idea. So the Rashba already asked, others ask as well, doesn't this contradict what he said earlier? He said you could wear the tooth of the fox and the nail of the prisoner, so what's the difference? So they point out that here you're talking about violating a surah to save a life, so that meaning, it's not that this has a higher standard, it's that Darche Amori has a lower standard. Meaning, we can't violate Isurim, you can't just say, oh, maybe this will work, so I'll violate Shabbos, because maybe, you know, I'll try this, why not? You know, there has to be some, there has to be something that it's based on. So they give a guy a dog liver to cure rabies. There was nothing, you know, alpitava, and so that's it. But Darche Amori has a lower standard, meaning to violate Darche Amori, it has to be that nobody believes that it works. If people believe that it works, even though there's no scientific evidence for it, it seems okay according to the Rambam. And a lot of things fit in that category, meaning there are probably a lot of things that are out there now that you couldn't violate Shabbos to do. But you wouldn't consider them Darche Amori, meaning anything that like the scientific community doesn't consider to be worthwhile. But there's websites out there that swear that it works. So that might be okay. The Rashba has a more megal standard. The Rashba, you know, goes after the Rambam and says, and the Rashba's tshuva is about some school of medicine and about using it on Shabbos, and there's tshuvas of the Rashba about writing Kameas on Shabbos. It seems that the Rashba has he says, what's the difference if Aristotle said it's okay or some other person? Like, what makes Aristotle on a higher level? So the Rashba is Mekel, and this seems to be, there's a broader machlokes in the Rambam and the Ramban. and the Ramban, the Rashba, the Talmud of the Ramban, about these things in general, whether such powers exist beyond the natural order. So the Rambam says, if you look in Source 14, the Shulchan Aruch writes like this: Mishen Oshko Akrav Mutal Lilchol Shalav Afilu B'Shabbos Ba'Afal Pishe Ina Dover Mol Klum. So you can do, if you're bitten by a snake, you can do some sort of skula, even though it's not going to work, but it's not a violation of Shabbos. And the Gra jumps on him and he says he accuses him. This is all from the Rambam. He says this is from the Rambam, and the Rambam was the philosophers got to him, meaning Aristotle, and all the rationalists got to the Rambam, but the Iker is that these kohos exist. So that's a broader idea. Interesting, I'm not going to have time to go through everything here, but even in the Rashba's camp, there are standards. I mean, like, the Rashba's not going to say that you can open up a fortune cookie and go based on that. There have to be he has a certain standard of what works and what doesn't work. And the biggest rise, the Rashba was like a big opponent of Kaparos on Erev Yom Kippur because of Darchei Mori. So I think within the Rashba, if you look in Source 17, the Gemara says that there's three levels of Kishuv. And sometimes Kishuv is a real violation of an Issur D'oraisa. Sometimes Kishuv is an Issur D'rabbanan, and sometimes it's Mutter. So what's the case of Mutter? Sefer Yetzira, or Kabbalah. Meaning, if somebody's a Bucky, if somebody's adept in these mystical ideas and knows both Kabbalah and Halacha. You're not supposed to learn Kabbalah until you're already proficient in halachic issues. So that, like the Gemara says, they used to make out of Sefer Yetzirah, they used to make golems or whatever. So whatever, I don't know if we know people on that level. That's not a violation of Kishuv. And along the same line, somebody who's going to write kameyas or get involved in these kind of things, that would be okay, assuming they've reached certain proficiency. Just getting back to the Nachash that we discussed at the beginning, I'll point out quickly that there is, on Rosh Hashanah, we eat Simonim. And the source is Source 20, which seems to be a violation of Nechush in Source 19, that you're not allowed to, eat something. Going back to the fortune cookie, you can't say, oh, the fortune cookie said I should do this, now I should do that, and I'll have good luck. And so the Meiri says, no, we eat the Siman on Rosh Hashanah. What we're doing is we're saying, he rots and then I should have a good year. But the Iker is not the Siman. The Iker is the Yehi Ratzon. So that's the Meiri. And the Mordechai says, no, that as long as you put a positive spin on it, meaning like you can't have a Siman for a bad year, meaning that's why the one about not eating nuts is a little bit problematic. But like if I eat an apple and I say I should have a sweet year, so I'm kind of looking forward to having a good year, and I eat the apple to kind of concretize that. That's how the Mordechai seems to understand Simonim. But the negative way, meaning because I did X, Y, and Z, I'm going to have a bad year, that might be a violation of Nechush. So that goes back. The Meiri sort of fits in with the mission that we started with. That the whole idea is to kind of focus on use these things as props to recognize where things come from. Meaning that Hashem provides us, and Hashem is Meimis u'Mechaya. And we look towards those, the Nachash or the Simanim here are used as props to recognize that. Okay, I'll just tell a story.